My guest in the studio today is Kerry Pollard. One of the things that is very dear to his heart is the charity Open Door.
Open Door provides initially nighttime shelter for people who are rough sleepers, and it does it very well and has done it for many, many years. Started about 27 years ago, and it came about because a group of city centre churches thought that there was this need for some shelter. I joined in. We started off with six mattresses over a shop in Victoria Street that used to be BSM, and upstairs we had the six mattresses. We had a kettle, we had a toaster and a sink, and that was it. So they came in and registered two or three nights. Didn't have anybody, and gradually it was full every single night. It was staffed by volunteers, mainly from the churches, but the wider community joined in as well. I used to laugh because we had vicars coming in and you knew exactly what they were doing. The sermon next day was going to be about the work that was done in the Open Door. And that was fantastic because it broadcast what we were trying to do, the need, how it was being satisfied. And then eventually we got the premises at 8 Brickett Road, which is owned by the district council and again run by volunteers initially. But it got so big and so popular that we realised that it had to be run by professional people. And that's when we got involved with Hightown, Praetorian and Churches Housing Association, which is a small local housing association based in St Albans. And it was Margaret Lewis, who was the chairman of that group, that signed up and said that her organisation, though it was tiny, would take on this responsibility. And we're immensely grateful to Margaret for doing that. She was our first chair. She's a patron now and still is involved. Margaret Lewis is a walking saint, as far as I'm concerned, for what she did and the courage she demonstrated in taking this responsibility on.
You're dealing with there, you said, half a dozen homeless at that stage. Has the figure kept growing?
The estimate is there's round about 40 rough sleepers, and that comes from accounts that we've done, from experience. It comes from people like Emmaus who have said that these people are dropping in to see them, you know, for work and things like that. That's our estimate. It's a fluid and a moving feast, so you can't say on any one night there's 40 tonight. We really don't know that. That's just the intelligence that we've gathered and our experience over the years. We obviously can't cater for that many. We've just got to the 12 in the Open Door night shelter. In the winter periods, when the temperature drops below 3 degrees C, I think that's a trigger mechanism, we'll put an extra 5 mattresses down in the Open Door shelter. And just this winter, we've had another 5 mattresses down in Trinity Church, which is just round the corner from the shelter. And then that's again run by volunteers, and we're immensely proud of that. They come from the churches generally. Churches give huge support to the concept and to the practicalities of day-to-day running. We've got round about 100 volunteers that do things within the shelter, making meals, befriending, a whole range of things. And in truth, we couldn't operate if we didn't have these, again, saintly volunteers who give up their time, no publicity, no thanks needed. We have a party once a year where we, you know, we'll put on a few sandwiches and I'll stand up and say, thank you so much for all you're doing. You cannot measure the effect that this can have on these people. You know, absolutely saving and changing lives. And I use the word saving lives because some of the clients that we have challenging problems of, you know, drug and alcohol, sometimes combined. It is those people that you are saving because it's a downward slope that they're on. What we've got to try and do is stop that.
Because there's a multiplicity of reasons. Oh. I use the term homelessness and you've used the term consistency. Rough sleepers. Do people fall out of the system somewhere? What happens?
There's varying degrees. Just to give you one example, we had a chap in not long ago who was split up from his partner and he was left homeless, either sleeping in his car or coming into the shelter. So that's one group of people that we cater for. And there's more and more of that coming along now because it's hellish difficult buying one home in St Albans or renting one home, never mind having to have two. So that's part of it. And others are people who've been sleeping rough for years and years and years and know no other lifestyle. And I think we cater for them as well. What we want to do is to stop this circular movement of 28 days in a night shelter, then out for a period, and then another 28 days back in again.
That's not a limit you impose, though.
What we try and do is make sure that in the 28 days, we can, if possible, do something helpful with them and move them on to some other more suitable and less temporary accommodation. That's the idea. So the 28 days gives us an opportunity to do some work. It also means that the 12 that are being catered for in that 28-day period, there's 20 more outside who could want to use the facility as well. So we've got to be careful about that. So it's designed so that within the 28 days, where we can, we'll do something more positive and make other arrangements for the people who are in the shelter. And then those others who are waiting in line can then be given their chance to come
in. We'll come back to the future because I know that you're quite excited about the general trend of what might happen, what you're planning and so on. Let's keep where we are at the moment. 40 is a lot of people. And I think probably most people in St Albans would say, well, I don't see 40 around at night time in the door. I mean, where are they?
They're all over the place.
Oh, you've got 12 in your hostel.
They are all over the place, sometimes hidden, just minding their own business. They're in all sorts of different places. I've heard about one was in a churchyard in Wheat Hampstead quite recently. So anywhere. What you see is a sleeping bag outside Marks and Spencer's and people give them money and that's okay. I have a little difficulty giving money personally because if people are drug and alcohol dependent, then you can be feeding them.
Whereas if you can give sandwiches.
You give sandwiches or a hot drink or something, that's much better. Yeah. And anybody I speak to, I encourage them to do that. In fact, I went up to the city school only a few weeks ago. I suggested to them that they shouldn't do that. And one boy stood up, he said, I'm going to tell my dad that. His dad always slips a couple of quid in, you know, and then they always get thanked. And that person might not be a drug and alcohol dependent. I'm not saying that. They all are. But I still think the advice would be give them sustenance, but not financial sustenance.
The hostel itself is a building. It's not far from the city centre. And it's got a number of what? Dormitories? Separate rooms? What is it?
It's got 12 separate rooms, each one with its own, with obviously bed and wardrobe, but also got a shower and toilet inside. So it is self-contained. And that's the first stage of restoring dignity and self-esteem. Not sharing. You're not sleeping outside. You can shower, you can keep yourself clean. And it's very interesting that majority of the clients we have are male. Occasionally you get some ladies in. And if you look at the rooms, it's pretty clear which are the ladies' rooms and which are the gents' rooms.
They're coming in about 6 o'clock.
They book in, they get allocated their room and they can go up and shower, do whatever they want to do, get their backpack put down and hopefully put their clothes away in the wardrobe. The meal will be at whatever time it's set for. There'll be a choice, cater for vegetarian as well, so it's not beans on toast, it is really, really good food.
And is there a sort of common room that then?
There's a big common room. Half it's got tables and chairs in, so that's where they would eat. And then the other half has got television and three, I think, computer consoles, so they can work on a computer. Okay. So when we were talking about what we could get them for Christmas, they wanted cheap mobile phones. You know, it says it all, doesn't it? Moved into the 21st century, so people were saying, I'll send a brush and a comb through. Fantastic. You know, of course they need, absolutely. But what they wanted above all else was a mobile phone that was cheap and cheerful and that they could just talk to each other. So there's kind of a society that these people have got where they chat to each other.
The night is finished, they've had their night's sleep, they have breakfast and then they have to go?
They have to go. And quite often they go to Centre 33 and we work very closely with them. Fantastic organisation.
Because they're day only, aren't they?
They're day
Your
only.
Your night only, as it were, and their day.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So we complement each other. And one of our trustees is a trustee of Centre 33 and of Open Door. We couldn't be closer and we're really appreciative of all the work that Centre 33 does. Fantastic operators.
We saw on television over this wretched cold winter we just had that some of the rough sleepers didn't want to go into hostels because they were in big rooms and they didn't like being in the sort of the almost like a ward of people because they were fearful in some cases because they could have things stolen and you've overcome that.
The clients that we have are generally insecure and that's a manifestation of that insecurity, isn't it? You know, if they are living rough, they've got very few belongings. It's got to fit in a backpack so they don't come with three suitcases and this is what will be a rucksack or just a plastic bag with stuff in. Sometimes they'll come with a dog and we try and accommodate that where we can. A dog is a man's best friend. Quite often it is the only companion that these clients will have. So you've got to recognise that and act appropriately.
Can't be many hostels that have got separate rooms.
I've been all over the country looking at hostels. We are the best by a country mile. And that's not set out of vanity or big-headedness. It's because we've been doing it a long time and have got to the point now where I don't think we could offer a better overnight service than we do because of what we provide. What we've got to do now is to move on. So it's stage two. And I think we...
If you've got 12 inside Open Door, and does that mean you've got a queue outside or do people know that they can't get in that night? How does it work? If I was a rough sleeper, if I was homeless, how would I know whether I can get in?
You go along and try and book in. And if it's full, then they will tell you it's full and you have to go away. And come back another day.
Would you literally have to come back each day and say, have you got room for me?
That's it, I'm afraid. And that's one of the reasons why I think we're not sure how many homeless people, because if you go along and you do it one or two nights and you turn and you say, oh, nuts to that, I'm not going to bother anymore. And that's, again, where the hidden homeless come about, because those people will just disappear into wherever they are and become a part of a silent, hidden group.
Is Open Door more than the hostel? Do you go out looking for people who are rough sleeping?
We have a worker, and her sole role is to go out into the community, searching out where rough sleepers are, to take their details down, encourage them to come in and make use and tell them what is there. We're just about to suggest that this person does evening work and night work, but that will be difficult on your own. So we're going to ask to a volunteer system where a volunteer will go out with the person, because it could be, you know, if you're walking through a park at 10 o'clock at night, you're chancing your arm a little bit. So we have a duty of care. We exercise, or we are going to exercise. She doesn't go out in the evening time yet. And she sends us a report about, you know, Mr. X, who's doing whatever, what she's doing and trying to do to encourage them to come in, see us, take part in what's going on. And that's how it is working.
So you're communicating to the people whose needs you're trying to fulfil. How do you communicate with the general public?
We, for example, are doing a street stall on the 7th of April, where we'll have nice glossy leaflets and we're printing little cards. On the card will be the address of Open Door, and on the other side of the card, the address of Centre 33. We're going to hand them out to anybody that can take them away. We'll give them to the police, community support officers, all range of people. So if they come across anybody who is rough sleeping, they say, try this. It might work, but it's a way of getting the message across. And that's one of the things that we're just starting to do.
You still do the sleep out?
We don't do the sleep out. The sleep out's done generally by the Abbey, and we get a cut of the takings. They're very great for that. They do it every single year for us. We've just started another one. One of the senior staff in Notcuts approached me and said, Notcuts would like to do something for the community. What can we do to help? We are in dialogue with them, and that's again part of the future that will come to.
Do you depend upon the community for funds? Do you depend upon volunteering? You said you got 100 volunteers or thereabouts, and it's the churches that started, the churches are still involved. Do you sense that the community as a whole understands what's going on?
I think it does, particularly the churches and the schools. Both are singularly helpful. The schools will have a song evening or something like that and raise 250 quid and send that through to us. But it's not just the sending the money through, it's thinking about it and knowing that there are these people who have dropped out of society for whatever reason, and that they want to do a little bit for them. It's fantastic. We also get plenty of 14, 15 year olds who want to do volunteering, and because of their age, they can't do it. But how excited that at that tender age, they've got the wherewithal and the thoughts and the conscience and all of that, and sensitivity to recognise that there are these people and they want to help. I mean, that fills me with real confidence that those young people going forward are with a real sense of community and wanting to help.
You're quite confident in other ways. I mean, I've been holding you back because you want to talk about where you want to go next. I mean, you've got the hostel established, you've got a system established that is working, but in a sense, you're not solving the problem, are you? Can you solve the problem?
You put your finger right on it. I felt for a couple of years now, we've been marking time, and that's not a negative thing. We're providing the basic service of, in you come, 28 days, we'll try to get you rehoused in the meantime. But what we want to do now is to actually move forward in a much more positive and bespoke way, so that we will identify Mr. X or Miss X, talk to them, see what we can do, what we can offer, what their real need is. Are they, for example, just from a broken home, and if we could get them into a bedsit for a while and a little bit of support, that will be them moving forward and back into society. That's fine. There will be others, of course, with more complex needs that will require a little more than that. And as one of our trustees is a mental health specialist and can arm around the shoulder, not in any questioning way, but in a positive, friendly, maternal way that can help them and identify what might be possible for this person and how we can best help them. And that, again, might be moving them into a temporary accommodation, but sitting with them, I don't mean, 24 hours a day, but sitting with them in every way to identify if there is some positive help that we can give in, might need to see a psychiatrist or some, and we can go along with them to the doctors to help, so that they don't, they're not shy of being part of the system anymore, nervous about it, that they've got somebody firmly holding their hand in a very supportive way, that kind of thing. And then if there is long-term need, seeing them through that and then moving them on into whatever we can do in the way of accommodation, with the eventual aim of getting them back full-time into society with a job, paying taxes. Sounds mercenary. It's not mercenary, because it's for their benefit and the benefit of society generally, because I think for a long time this has been a problem for many, many years, going back dozens and dozens of years. It's not a recent phenomenon, and there are shelters all over the country, people doing really good work. And I think there's an understanding now, an acceptance that we have to do more. And doing more is what we aim to do. And so I've shared some of the things that we will do. There'll be many more than that. And each individual, as I said, will get a bespoke solution, or we hope a solution, And this may take 2 or 3 years. It may be done in 6 months. Who knows? But it will be tailored to the individual. And we will work hard to do that. And it will involve volunteers doing all sorts of different things. Maybe helping clean and even in the flat, because, you know, you don't clean up if you're sleeping rough. Making sure that they maintain good health, cleanliness, you know, so that if they are eventually going for a job, they're not going looking as if they've just come out of the forest. They're going looking as if they've just come from home having a shower, you know. So there's a whole range of building in every sense. Self-sufficiency, self-esteem, which is really important, because your self-esteem is at a very, very low ebb when you're in the position that these people are.
What do you want from the listeners?
We want support. We will be going out fundraising shortly. If you see rough sleepers in the sleeping bag, give them sustenance, food and a hot drink, you know, a latte, you know, they're up for that. And be friendly, so that you recognise that these are human beings with their own needs and aspirations, same as all of us. And we want them back in society. The aim has to be in St Albans over the longer term, and to get so that the night shelter is only has 3 or 4 people in on a night, so we've got spare beds. What a day that will be. We'll have a party to celebrate that.
Kerry, thank you very much indeed for talking about Open Door. I look forward to seeing how that project goes on developing.
Thank you.
If you want to find out more about Open Door, perhaps to volunteer or donate or help in some other way, visit the website of the Hightown Housing Association. That's hightownha.org.uk. That's one word, Hightown HA. Or you can email volunteeradmin@hightownha.org.uk. Or call 01727 859 113. 01727 859 113. Now, Kerry mentioned the other charity working with rough sleepers in St Albans and around the district. That's Centre 33, which opens its doors in the daytime. And I've got an interview lined up with them as well, slightly later this year.